Life is, and everybody got a copy of the minutes of the last meeting. It's your pleasure. Omissions, corrections, deletions, omissions, or move to accept them?
I'll move.
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Carried. Well, on the agenda, old business is the PLAs. Now, we all got a copy of the purchasing director's letter. Very nice letter. Talked about where they're coming from. Talked about, I guess there's only been one PLA in 15 or 18 years, and that was the jail. But on the little packet that you have, just Friday, something caught my attention. Because, you know, where do we go? He said that they're going to be considering PLAs, except they're going out to bid on the family court building. They're going out to bid on the trail. And in the paper on Friday, and I think you read it already, I guess, Madam Jo, it was an article, and Richie, in the Woodstock Times about how they had, the county engineers estimated a repair job for the section in Colebrook, $182,000. The bids came back at $1 million. So they put the whole pedal bike thing off for a year. But here's what I'd like just you guys to discuss about when Mr. Ryder comes back from vacation. I realize that across the street from where I work at the inn, there's a trestle that they talk about being is going to cost $2.75 to $3 million to renovate. Carl was talking about Butternut Cove, up a little further toward Shokan, which is possibly many million dollars.
Well, we already authorized money for that, didn't we?
I really don't know.
Was that last month, Butternut Cove? Didn't we authorize money?
Yeah, it was the slope stabilization.
Yeah.
Right.
That was, we definitely authorized money.
But kind of where I'm going with it is, here's something that's going to cost $1 million to renovate or get the tracks up to some standard. The bridge in Boysville is $2.7 to $3 million for the bridge to nowhere. The Butternut Cove is going to be possibly that much or more. We're getting into the range now where this project could cost $10 or $15 or $20 million. And from what I remember about county and government business, it's not supposed to be piecemealed to avoid the bid process. It's supposed to be estimated, and then the resolution says anything over $1 million should be reviewed for a project labor agreement. As our, you know, the good friend, the purchasing director said that you're going to be reviewing it. Well, there are already bids coming in. So I just think we have to ask Mr. Ryder to come to our next meeting and have a discussion about it and find out where the committee wants to go. I mean, we've already got the backup material. Governor Pataki likes PLAs. The existing governor likes PLAs. I believe that the PLA helped prevent the jail from becoming an absolute fiasco, not just a financial fiasco, because there were no labor stoppages, no shortages. So if you'd like to discuss it or just forget about it and move on, that's everybody's business right now. Yes?
Well, actually, one of the things I'm wondering is, you know, $182,000, how did the county come up with that repair cost? And then we had a study done. We paid $30,000 to have the study done last year, and every section of that track was costed out. So I'd like to find out where this is. I think what we need to do is we need to ask the county executive and the planning department what sections of track there were, how'd they come up with their figures, and let's look at the Stone report and see if, you know, because we already did the study. If they came up with this from the Stone report, $182,000, I'd have to agree with them. I don't know what these people are thinking. If you're only going to run rail bikes, they're not, you know, 40-ton... railroad cars, or, you know, running over these tracks. I don't see how that.
Well, they had a bid on some specs.
Right. 180, about 182, and the lowest was 973,000.
Do you know anything about that? What's going on with it?
One of the issues with the dollar amount is that originally the Catskill Mountain Railroad was the one that put in the, you know, they put in the original plan to fix, and that's where the FEMA money came from. This is the FEMA money that was not released. You know, it's just, you know, not enough to cover it, so they went out to bid based on what
the railroad said.
Well, this says I believe
county
that it
was because it says county engineers estimated.
Had estimated a repair.
Well, it's a newspaper though. You can't take
this. Is the Bluestone Press?
No, this is the Woodstock paper.
Okay.
Well, I mean, about the only thing we can do at this point is write a letter, lay it all out, ask them to come in. Wouldn't you say, Carl?
Yeah. Because we're definitely not going to get that amount of money back in 10 years as for rental on that section of track, that's for sure.
It's my understanding that they're exploring other options.
Yeah, it says that, well, but they want to go around.
They made a deal with this pedal car group,
yep,
and now that's gone for a year. They postponed it. Now, I understand they're trying to negotiate going west toward Phoenicia, but there's issues with that track also.
One of the things that I had heard informally was to create a turnaround. What they needed, the pedal cars need an hour run, and it was going to be an hour run down, and then they truck the cars back and bus the people back. They were talking about an area where they could put picnic tables and the people could sit and eat lunch while they turn the cars around, half hour down, half hour back.
Wouldn't they run into each other? Oh, I get it. There'd be no new run.
Right, exactly.
I get it.
It wouldn't be a straight run. It'd be a half hour down, a half hour back. But they're looking at other options.
That's fine. Well, listen, I've been a little bit of a critic of it anyway, so this kind of just makes me wonder what's going on.
I've seen a picture of these cars. They're like six-seaters or something.
They go in packs.
Four-seaters, I think.
Four-seaters?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
My sister Pat and Mike Broom have a place in Lake Clear, and they went right by their house. They waved to them.
There were also some property owners that were unhappy with having activity behind their house.
Well, that goes with the territory.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the ladies worked for me, and she said, "You lied to me, John. You, Richie, you voted for these pedal cars." I said, "I didn't vote for anything."
Yeah, that never
Once happened. We lost the issue of the railroad, and they're going to develop a rail trail, I voted yes because, you know, I mean, it's like not voting to put food in the jail after the jail's been built and the inmates are in it. You know, I mean, you got to feed them.
Yeah, and they answered an RFP. It wasn't, we put out RFPs to lease those two sections. You know,
Carl's point
could have been somebody wanted to build an alpine slide.
Yeah,
right?
But ultimately, it should
they
come
could
back
have
to us.
Just done that.
Ultimately, you'd think it would come back to us, though. And it hadn't.
That's a huge increase.
Pardon, Manager?
I just said it's a huge increase. You know, I'm still sort of.
It's 500%.
Yeah, I'm still kind of trying to figure that one out. But I think your approach is right. Let's ask the questions and get some answers.
So, is it all right if I. Makes we write a letter. I mean,
what sections they are. That's the thing.
If this is correct, county engineers had estimated a repair job. Ask them where else on the tracks county engineers did the estimates. Because if they're off by that much there, are they off by that much in other areas?
Well, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. You know,
we ran into a little bit of this with the bridge out here by the Holiday Inn. If you remember,
C9.
An architect came in, an engineer came in and said it was okay.
No, the said it was unstable.
No.
Oh, right. The
railroad hired somebody who was a PE and a whole nine yards, said it's okay. The county found somebody to say no, it
wasn't.
Out
of Boston, it said it wasn't. And then somebody else came in and said it was fine.
So
there was a good, bad, good. And the county one was wrong again.
Well, then we're going to send a note out to the appropriate people and ask for, did you get the study that Carl said I...
Stone.
Okay, so we'll
yeah, the Stone Consulting.
We'll
they did that in sections, and they pieced out the costs of rail only, rail with trail,
yep,
and trail only, and there was matrices on each section. So I'm going to look too, but I don't know which sections they are. It doesn't say. Well, actually, this is the first I've heard that
this is Boyceville to Phoenicia.
Boyceville to Phoenicia.
So it's,
this is the Colebrook section.
Yeah, Boyceville.
Yeah.
But this is just the Colebrook section.
Yeah.
It's not even talking about above Phoenicia.
Correct.
Or above...
Above Colebrook. Right.
Above Colebrook. Yeah. That I know of, anyway.
I believe that this was just the Colebrook washout. Some people call it the accordion washout. The tracks are hanging down off of the side
of
the
Asopus Tank. I thought that was Buttermilk.
Butternut Cove is on the
Ashokan.
Oh, is that the same one?
Butternut Cove
is on a straightaway.
We used to call it Sand Hill.
It is on a straightaway.
Oh, okay. But
Butternut Cove is a
rail is hanging off the side of
the... What happened was there's a huge culvert pipe on the bottom. So the track goes like this. Maybe 40 feet down is a culvert pipe that was put in 100 years ago. Over the 100 years, the track is starting to erode, you know, down that culvert pipe.
Right.
So it's a straightaway, but it's just hanging. It's They've got to bring enough fill in to come up, maybe not 40 feet, but 20 feet.
Yeah, we never got
Don't
there.
Don't they also have to fix a wing wall there?
They probably got to fix a few things.
The Butternut Cove.
It's an amazing piece of property. It's really nice there. But, yeah, I mean, that has been eroded over rainstorms.
Right.
And maybe some flooding from a tributary that feeds into a side stream, a small side stream. That's where that erosion came from, not from the Asopus Creek. I doubt it. I bet that took years and years.
It might
years.
Have contributed to it.
I bet it took years and years of erosion. It's so high up.
Listen, the one in Boyceville, before Colebrook, across the street from the inn, that trestle has been destroyed for years. And I told you before, one of my gripes with this whole thing is the city of New York is funding a new bridge across the Asopus 600 feet away, and the county says, "Well, no, we're going to spend $3 million repairing that one." So, you know, that's a bridge to nowhere, as far as I'm concerned. But it's part of what we're dealing with. So,
you mean the C9 bridge?
No, he's talking about the Boyceville trestle
in Boyceville.
Right.
In Boyceville.
I know.
I did say the city of New York.
I was reading it the same.
Okay, affordable housing, folks. Not going away. I want you to know that we sent out a letter concerning student populations in the 9 or so school districts in Ulster County, and we got back fives, and this is going back a couple of months now. The point is, the schools are almost all losing population. The towns are losing population, at least north of New Paltz they are anyway. And the county is losing population as a whole. And part of it is housing. Part of it is jobs. No jobs, no housing. And, you know, we take a look at the mall. The mall is folding or closing.
Sold. I don't know if it's folding.
Huh?
It's closed. I don't know if it's closing.
Taxes are the number one reason people are moving out of here.
Well, what I'm saying is, the guy that bought the mall said he paid $8 million for it. It was assessed at 55. And the guy that the people that sold it for $8 million were happy to get $8 million because it was either that or turn the lights out.
Right.
So, but we have.
Well, they're going to transform the one end where Macy's was, I think, into health thing. Yeah, the Poughkeepsie-based one.
HealthQuest.
They want to put offices
in. They're all competing with each other. They're all going to knock each other out of business.
Everything's healthcare.
So, I mean, if you just look at this, I'll give you one figure from Aniora. In 2006, the school had just under 2,000 kids in the school district.
Oh, was this what was in my mailbox last? I was wondering what that was for.
Well, I just try to keep you informed of everything, Carl.
Was that last week? Didn't I grab something out of my mailbox that had the figures of the towns?
Yeah. Well, just to talk about housing, you have to have some figures.
It came out of...
Aniora has 1,300 now. That's 700. That's one-third. One-third. So, we've talked to the RUBCO people, you know... they haven't really responded as to what they think the need is. I think over the the short term, we have to develop a plan to get a real study to find out affordable housing, low-income housing, work-class housing, and find out what the needs are. I mean, there's no question that the housing costs, from studies that y'all got from us, I think Ulster County in affordability is what? Third most expensive outside of New York. We almost got it at the budget hearing, but it didn't quite work. And I think maybe for the next meeting, if anybody wants to, we'll think about it. And I might try to draw up a resolution and say time's a wasting because the economy isn't all that good. And I think that's a contributing factor. Yes, ma'am.
I also think that the housing consortium should be active. I mean, I think it should be reinvigorated. Circumstances had them shift to the continuum which focuses on homelessness, and I understand that. But there are a lot of other housing issues, and it just seems to me that
we got KFC.
Well, I agree with you, Matt Jobo.
To reactivate that and not just say it's been inactive. If we're reviewing, if the problem had gone away, I would say, you know, let's change the rule, put forward a resolution and dissolve the housing consortium. But it hasn't gone away.
No, and the resolution says it's supposed to be.
That's right. So I think we need to take whatever steps are necessary to activate that, and maybe they would be the ones in charge of defining the study and stuff like that. If the housing consortium were reactivated, that would be an initial task for them. And it doesn't have to be all of the same people that are working. I mean, it just seems to me that what happened is, because of the need for homelessness, which relates to affordable housing, they shifted over and tended to focus on that. But I think there's a lot more to it, and I think we ought to. I'm not sure what steps would need to be taken to reactivate it, but it seems to me that was my sense. That's what I came away from the discussions, and we asked, RUPCO and other housing agencies to give us feedback, and we did say we had one notice saying they're working on it, I think, but that's my sense of it, is that they need to be active, they need to be meeting, and
I don't disagree with you at all. I just think if we're going to reactivate it, whether it be that committee or a second committee, if the legislature so chooses, we move forward. I think we got to find out where we are at the same time.
Yeah.
No sense waiting for the committee if it gets passed.
I'm sorry. Why don't we just take an accounting of how many of these we do have in Ulster County?
How
many low or affordable housing, units there are in Ulster County? Now, because I know Kingston has the brunt of them.
That's what John's talking about with the housing study.
Why don't we sit there and
we might
look
not
at
it? We might not know. You may have to do the study to find out.
Accounting, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think so? Mm. Well, I know, like down, what's it, Springbrook Village used to be Broadway East, then across the railroad tracks on the other side. Yep. Those are numbers. All within the last 30 years. I think the ones across the track are probably 15 years.
Three Garrigan Drive and then the other one.
Then you got Colonial Gardens, which has been there for 30 or 40 years. But then Steve Aaron's project right next to it. What is that? What's that called?
Down there?
It's off of Foxwell Avenue. Yeah, it's affordable housing. It's not senior. It's affordable housing. A couple of years ago, they had the police department down there and trying to get the neighborhood
Flatbush Avenue.
What did I say?
Foxwell.
Okay.
Flatbush. Right.
And then you've got Darmstadt has a shelter, right? And they've got low-income housing in Kingston. I don't know. Maybe do we really need to pay for a study just to find out how many units that we have in Ulster County?
Well, you're identifying a few in Kingston here and Sopus.
I'm saying
that you don't know how many units are affordable and how many aren't.
I have heard people at meetings say things like, "They're 300 units short of affordable housing," and we could try to get those figures, but I don't know who's compiling them at this point.
Right.
But they talk about the serious shortage of housing, whether it be low income, affordable, workfare. Now, whether that was somebody like Steve Aaron quoting it or somebody like Rupko quoting it, I don't really remember. But I'll try to get it, and then we'll follow up the next time and decide whether to move forward or not.
Maybe one of the steps could be doing an RFP to find out just how much money we're talking about.
Well,
for the study?
Yeah.
And also to see what planning already currently has. I'm not sure when the last time they looked at this, but...
Well, would you include safety net as affordable housing?
You're talking about, like, Section 8?
Yeah, Section 8. Section 8.
Yeah.
Because, would you consider government-subsidized housing? Let's say, based on income, you pay this much. If you make... You can't make over this amount of money.
That would be tough because...
You pay, Department of Housing does that, federal government.
Right.
So maybe you do need to study.
And Section 8, there may be a need for that, but there's a need for maybe other housing. Not quite Section 8. The people that actually have a job but can't afford it.
Well, the problem is a lot of the housing, and I'll just use me for example, the apartments I have in Ellenville, I have some people, one's got one person on Section 8, the other two apartments have people that work every day. Doesn't matter. I charge the same rent on all three of them.
But then
sometimes the person's off it. They've gotten a job and they're off it. And then sometimes somebody that's off it gets laid off, and then 2 months later they're like, "Hey, can you fill out these papers?" So is my place considered affordable housing? I don't know what would it, because there's people that, I don't know what it would be defined as.
I would think it would be if it was government subsidized.
Well, government.
Right, if the rent was government subsidized, that's got to be affordable housing.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Because they wouldn't afford it, they wouldn't be able to afford it.
Well, they sometimes, the government will only pay half or three quarters, and then they have to come up with the rest. So, they pay 100%.
I do know this. We don't have enough emergency housing in Ulster County. That's for sure. Because when I was looking into this boarding house that we have in Sopas, I asked the county, I said, why don't we do inspections in these properties? Because the house was falling apart. And they had more people than they were authorized to have lived there. It was a boarding house. And I was told that they don't, they're lenient on these places because they don't have enough. And they need more.
Well,
motels, hotels, boarding houses.
Well, Roberto Rodriguez, remember the former commissioner of social services?
Yeah.
He'd get a call at Friday night. Somebody was getting out of jail. Somebody was getting released. Things happened, and he'd spend hours trying to get them places
emergency
to stay.
Housing. Yeah.
Couldn't find housing in emergency, fires or whatever.
Hmm. So, also, one of the problems with emergency housing, especially when subsidies are involved, is that you can't have two children in the same room. Each child has to have their own room.
I think that's the way it is when you're going through a divorce too, because I had to have separate bedrooms for my kids. So I don't know how far that reaches. I mean,
somebody knocking?
No, it's Vicky.
Single family, rather single parent type.
Vicky's killing spiders.
She's from the pen.
Well, rather than being
let's
to death,
figure
I'll
out
have
what
to chat
do.
With everybody and.
I'm sorry I voted against the resolution last year. I was a co-sponsor and I voted against it.
I forgot that, Carl. I forgot that. I'm going to move forward to get whatever evidence we can to either support and sustain or reject the idea of looking into it, okay? Mm-hmm. And then we can go from there. Under new business, we've got a letter, carbon copy of a letter, from the village of Ellenville. Please be advised, y'all have it, that at the March 27 meeting, the village board voted unanimously to request Ulster County adopt and enforce a policy as of January 1st of a given year. If a property in the village of Ellenville is subject to foreclosure in that year, the county will not enter into an installment agreement or accept tax payments unless the taxpayer agrees to resolve their unpaid village taxes as well. Now, if you all remember, this was an issue that I had a couple of years ago that some of us tried to bring up We wrote a letter to Mayor Kaplan, ask him to come in tonight. I believe you have a copy of the letter that was addressed to Jay. On behalf of the village, we greatly appreciate the invitation in response to our letter regarding the funding of village taxes. As you may know, Ulster County is one of less than a handful of counties in New York State that do not make their villages whole, similar to the way school districts and towns are treated. That's what we were looking for. This makes setting a budget and cash flow to pay employees and bills extremely difficult. This is especially true due to our overwhelming reliance on tax collections to generate cash flow. To say it makes it difficult to run a village is a gross understatement. However, with that said, I cannot attend Monday's meeting, et cetera, et cetera. So the problem didn't go away. If you can remember, the thing was moving forward, and Saugerties wanted it, and New Paltz wanted it, and Ellenville wanted it, and then it was a promise of a Ellenville million, and all these problems would go away. And,
yeah, that really helped.
And now the problem is back again. So we have nothing in front of us on this now other than these letters, but I think we should think about making the villages whole again for the one little part of the entire equation, and that's the village taxes. I am going to be calling the PACE people this week, just curiously, because remember the legislature passed a policy resolution or whatever you call them concerning development in Ulster County, and if qualified, the payments would be included in your tax bills and not as a loan, but an investment in the property that couldn't be paid off early and couldn't be and didn't count against your credit. Rather, an interesting program. We knew of an outfit that did that, not through a PACE, but through a municipality, and it worked extremely well for them to get some sewage that they couldn't otherwise get. However, if we do remember, the three villages were, while they weren't excluded from it in the resolution, were excluded because the taxes aren't made whole. So maybe nobody's even doing this. Maybe nobody cares. But I think Jeff is pointing out a problem again, that all three villages sent letters saying this makes sense. And at the last minute, I don't know whether the votes were there or not. That's not what I'm here talking about. But it was, I think we got a better deal. Maybe the deal didn't work out.
How come the county fits the bill for the school districts on their unpaid tax?
State law.
That's a state
they
law.
They do the school districts?
And why wouldn't they do it with
but don't the
with
towns
and villages? Because you don't have a place to live, how can you go to school?
It's not the county. I mean, the county is not the entity that makes whole in every area. What it is, it's the senior lien holder. And the senior lien holder for taxes in Ulster County is the County of Ulster. In Westchester County, it's the towns. So all the towns make the county and the school districts whole for unpaid property taxes.
That's correct. Otherwise, there's only one other county anywhere that doesn't do. And in Ellenville, or in Saugerties, or in New Paltz, if a particular property, the owners have difficulty, the county makes good the school taxes. They make good the town taxes. They make good the county.
That?
Yes, they make good the county taxes. They don't make good the village taxes. So the villages can't do a budget unless. I mean, New Paltz doesn't have a big problem with it, I think.
Nor does Saugerties. The biggest problem is the village of Ellenville because they let it get so out of hand that it's impossible to they've got almost $1 million in arrears. It's almost impossible to
And they also don't have the funding to hire a department to have lawyers and...
Couldn't they hire an attorney and say, listen, we'll give you 50% of everything you recover?
They could hire a collection agency and get more than that.
Right.
It doesn't work.
Well, have they tried it?
Yes.
I just don't...
Yeah, why wouldn't the county make it whole?
I understand that argument, too. But the bottom line is, if somebody owes you money, like people in Ellenville are paying their sewer and water bill, they're paying their town taxes, they're paying their county taxes, and they're paying their school taxes. They're not paying their village taxes. If the school district and the county and the town has recourse to go after you, I don't understand how the village doesn't have recourse.
Maybe they don't have the funding to hire the lawyers and the experts.
Well, you're not listening to what I'm saying.
Yes, I am. And you know what, Rich? Right now, if the property that Jay is talking about, if the county forecloses on them, they pay the county. They don't give the town anything.
Then why doesn't a village put a lien on it? So when the new government...
I think this
overcomes
that.
Because then the county would be screwed. The village should put a lien on it, because then when the county sold it at a tax sale, nobody's going to pay the county because the lien's got to be cleared. That's what I mean, I'm not an expert in this stuff, but...
And why doesn't every town do that, then?
No.
And
because the towns don't have to worry about it.
What?
Because the towns don't have to worry about it.
Because the county does it.
And I get that argument. But at the end of the day, if the county's not going to do it, you got to kind of help yourself. And say...
You're not ignoring it.
Who isn't?
Ellenville.
Listen, the house, one of the houses next to mine, I just got a letter from the Ulster County Real Property saying this house is being sold at a tax sale. Now, obviously, I haven't seen the taxes, but I'm willing to bet if the person is in arrears in school, town, and county taxes, they also haven't paid their village taxes. So why doesn't this village put a lien on that for the amount of village taxes, so that would prevent the county from selling it at a tax auction, because who's going to buy it if the lien's not cleared?
Well, wait a minute. I mean, there's restaurants around up where we are
that
have mortgages on it.
It's got nothing to do with it.
Well, the mortgage is a lien.
This house has no mortgage on it.
A mortgage is a lien.
No.
If a house has a mortgage on it, it's likely not going to
tax
auction.
It's not going to tax auction.
Because
the banks are paying the taxes.
The bank's not going to lose their collateral.
Right.
Bank will put up the taxes and add it to the mortgage.
The only thing we're buying at tax sales are free and clear. Are free and clear of a mortgage. Because like Chairman Rock said, if a bank owes money on a house and a person stops paying the mortgage and the bank takes it over, the bank continues to pay taxes because they don't want to, for $8,000 or $9,000 or $10,000 or $20,000 in back taxes, they don't want to lose an investment that they can sell for $200,000 or $300,000 or $150,000. So they'll pay the taxes. So generally what you see at the county auction, probably 99% of them, there's no mortgage on them. Banks aren't involved. So my question is, and I don't expect Evan, you're not here as an attorney, but why doesn't the village go to these places and say, here's a lien? All you got to do is go to the second floor, right? You go downstairs to the county clerk, you get a judgment, you get a lien, you put it on there. Now the village can't, now the town, can't, the county can't sell it. They can sell it, but who's going to buy it knowing you got an outstanding lien?
I don't know if it doesn't preclude that.
I think they have that ability. If you look at the brochure, that is one of the things you're supposed to be looking for. It's specifically village liens.
Could be,
really?
Could be village liens, construction liens. There's all kinds of liens in these houses. They're sold as is.
Yeah, so those
people...
They
very much say buyer beware. If you have not done your homework.
But why? I mean, I guess Jeff's got to be here, or...
That's correct.
You could buy a house with a triple mortgage on it.
That's correct.
Right. But so you have to go do your due diligence with the what do you call it?
Title search.
Title search. Okay.
Title search, assessor's office, everything.
Because if they do that, then these folks, if they buy it and want to renovate it or do anything, they can't get a mortgage with a lien on it. Then they got to pay their back village taxes. I just, to me, it doesn't seem, if Bank of America can do it with corporate offices in Chicago, put a lien on a house in the village of Ellenville, why can't people that live right there and work two blocks away do it? It doesn't make sense to me.
I can't answer that.
Well, then let's...
We invited Jeff to come.
Yeah, and let's talk to him, because there may be very simple reasons why they don't do it.
The last time we went through this, a lawyer representing a client who was about to be foreclosed on by the county said to the client, just pay your county taxes and we'll go away. Don't worry about paying the village taxes. Let them take you to court. Let them worry about it.
Well, and that's what a lawyer's advised to do. The best.
And I'm not so
client.
Sure a lien carries any huge weight when it comes to.
Oh, I don't know about that. Try to get a mortgage for something that's got a lien on it.
Okay.
No, well, you could also be provoked to pay it at the closing.
Well, that's exactly the end result. That's your goal.
Right. But if they walk away from the sale, I mean, I don't know how that would work because isn't it once you bid on the property from the county, you have to buy it.
You got to put down a deposit.
You put down
10%
deposit.
Or something.
Yeah, you lose your deposit if you back out, but right. You don't have to. You're not.
And I don't know if it changes hands. Ownership, can you still have a lien on it?
In the county's favor or the village's favor?
Can you put a lien on it after it changes hands from a previous owner?
I don't know. The property.
I don't know.
Technically, once the tax warrants are issued, the county owns property until such time as the property owner pays the money back.
So then could the village put a lien on the county?
And just remember, it's a little complicated. Now, we know a guy who bought some property at a county sale in Mount Tremper, and he owned it for 10 years, paid his taxes. Went to sell it to one of his neighbors. They found out the county didn't really own it, that it was the county never owned it, never had the right to sell it, and all he got was 3 years' taxes back. It wasn't a lot of money because it was Creekside property.
Well, he probably didn't do a title search because that would have all come up in a title search.
But the county sold it to him erroneously.
Well, the county was wrong.
Okay.
And he was wrong too, to a degree.
Title searches are expensive.
It was probably an illegal transfer a couple times ago, what happened.
That was Freddie.
It's a percentage of your mortgage. You know, if you get a title search on a $100,000 thing, your title search is probably $1,200. I mean, it's not cheap, but if you're investing in property, that's the cost to do a business.
Which is Evan. The important part of getting title insurance.
Yeah.
Evan would like the floor.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you. So we are beginning to get going on research and preparation for a mental health audit. Given the tremendous interest by this committee and your other colleagues, we would like to request some type of follow-up to discuss priorities and scope about this in particular. And potentially in conjunction with the Public Health Committee and or the Department of Health to really define where we're headed and possibly discuss even limitations of what we'd be able to accomplish. Please.
I think, and you probably are going to do this anyway, but you should probably start before we contracted the services out, what services we had, and then what services are offered now. Because I know that we've had people come here and tell us that they lost services for their son because Astor doesn't offer it anymore, or Hudson Valley Mental Health doesn't offer it. It's not part of their package, so they've lost that. I'd like to see how many programs were lost in this process,
or not Definitely. Serviced as well, or people just dropped
performance,
out.
Yeah, how do you know? How that's a big study, right?
I mean, we don't have a staff,
No, I'm not. We've heard that from people that there were services that are no longer available that their child needs.
And you've heard that yourself.
Yeah, and I'll talk to you afterwards. Okay. I've had a couple people reach out to me.
All right, I hear you. This is really what this committee is trying to do. It's not a gotcha thing. It's okay. You brought a concern. It's duly noted. Jay brought a concern. It's duly noted. The housing. Carl recognized the necessity for a housing study, so it's been duly recognized. Tom, did you have something at the...
No, I just... why don't Ellenville get out, dissolve and go to the township?
I think
they will.
Secede
from Ulster County?
No, go into the town.
Ken, you...
Yes, sir.
Sorry, that's all right.
That's okay. I am bringing a request to the committee. Take it up or not, it's up to you. I had a meeting, second such meeting I've had, with some folks from both the Dart Corporation, which is a large manufacturer of polystyrene foam products, and with some of the small business owners that have been affected by this, by the styrofoam ban in the county. And one thing that I'm looking into, and I would like you folks to help me with, is one of the concerns that I have about the polystyrene ban is that styrofoam is recyclable. It's not easily recyclable. There aren't a lot of places that recycle it. but there are some, and we could get in on it. And one of my concerns about the ban on polystyrene is that this accounts for a very small amount. The food styrofoam, food service styrofoam, accounts for a very small amount of the styrofoam that ends up in the waste stream. Most of it comes from packaging. If you think about it, any time you've bought a toaster or a microwave or a Keurig or, you know, a TV, it comes with huge blocks of styrofoam that are not banned in the county and end up in the trash. Styrofoam is recyclable. This is an example of this. These little beads in here is the equivalent of 1 16-ounce coffee cup when it's been turned into, you know, post-consumer pellets, they call them. And these pellets can be turned into pens. They can be turned into anything you can make out of plastic, you can make out of recycled styrofoam. A lot of the, if you see a lot of the, they almost look vinyl picture frames at Walmart or places like that, it's actually partially post-consumer styrofoam. The company, I believe, that does this, you have to have a whole truckload of styrofoam and then they'll come and get it. But they have these compactor machines that turn it into these just styrofoam blocks, these compact styrofoam blocks that you then stockpile until you have a truckload and send them off. A lot of the styrofoam has been replaced by things that end up in the waste stream. You know, wax-coated paper, which is not recyclable, is heavier than styrofoam, and still ends up in the waste stream. And other, you know, receptacles that, you know, get soiled and end up in the garbage. If we have something here that could be recycled, I think that we should look into, rather than banning it, recycling it.
It's already banned, right?
It's already banned.
Yeah, okay.
But if we were able to recycle it, we could reverse the ban.
I understand.
Another concern that I have, and this is specifically what I'd like the committee to take a look at, is the fines in the law are outrageous. You know, you get fined more for selling a piece of styrofoam than for setting the mountain on fire with a sky lantern. That's what I like to say. But this is an example of what some of our businesses have had to deal with. These are the regular KFC. This is the This is the potatoes. This is gravy. You know, the gravy container. It's branded. You can see where it came from. It's got all the company information on it. This is what they're down to use. It's unbranded. You can't brand it because KFC controls the branding on their materials, and they don't offer branded alternatives to their franchisees. And since Yum Brands handles all the branding, this is what they're, you know, this turns into this turns into that. It's a problem for local business. It's also outrageously more expensive, but that's not the point to me. The point to me is that, you know, we're forcing them into an unbranded situation because the company doesn't provide branded alternatives. So we have in the styrofoam ban that was passed a unique packaging exemption. This, to me, would qualify for a unique packaging exemption, but I don't work at the health department. And we didn't put a strict enough or specific enough unique packaging exemption in there. I think if there's no branded alternative, you should get a unique packaging exemption, because this is unique packaging when compared to this. So one thing I'd like to talk about is expanding, you know, at the very least, if we're not gonna, you know, get rid of the ban and start recycling it, I'd like to see us lower the fines to something well more reasonable than it is, because it's not an oil spill. That's how these fines are, you know, it's a per day fine, like it's an oil spill. And I'd also like us to expand the unique packaging exemption to cover areas like this.
Okay. Madam Jones.
Yeah. From my experience, the styrofoam that can be easily recycled is the clean styrofoam, is the packaging material. This will have half of whatever they sold still in it. If it's in a compostable container, and I've been delighted to find that when I do take out food lately, it's a compostable container. If there's little food in it, you know, the folks out at UCRA, where we're going to be expanding our food composting, are delighted. So I just want to keep that in mind in terms of recyclability. I think the branding is another issue, and I think we ought to, you know, we're not the only ones that are going down this path. Mm-hmm. I think KFC needs to reconsider their policy. But anyway, I'm sure this will be debated again, and a lot of pros and cons will be brought up. But, you know, I think there's a basic difference between styrofoam-containing food and packaging material, and I would love to see the RRA set up a program to collect the packaging material, because that is readily recyclable.
I'm actually working on a grant to get the compactor, which would be required in order for us to
great.
Start doing it. So,
great.
You know, the good folks at DART are you know, sending me in the right direction on that. So,
I appreciate the sheer hypocrisy of this local law now, because I never really considered it, but I recently purchased some of the things that you had just said, and
do you have a copy
surprised
of
at how much polystyrene
the
packaging
I
there
don't,
was,
I'll get
one. Much more than what I ever, you know, consumed as a diner, you know, takeout breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or things like that, or KFC. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think it's a big issue. I don't know what's involved in recycling polystyrene that has impregnated, you know, food stuff, but, I mean, we have cardboard and newspaper and glass, and they recycle those, and I know, you know, whenever I send a message to one of my constituents, I wrap a fish in a newspaper, and I send it to them, and then I recycle it.
Well,
so I don't know.
To your point, Carl, and just to follow up on your point, Manna, about some of the food waste styrofoam being soiled and unable to be recycled, you know, one thing that I've learned in my time as a legislator is that a lot of the recyclables that we get sent out are no longer able to be recycled because of being soiled, especially with single stream recycling. Because most of the paper gets soiled in the single stream bins, and you know, quite a bit of the corrugated cardboard, and those are the really valuable things, which is why it's good that we, you know, sort of separate, even though right now the commodities market's in the toilet, but it won't be forever. But I just feel like, you know, this has been a good exercise, even if we're only able to get the packaging styrofoam recycled, because that is outrageously larger in total amount than the food waste styrofoam, which we've targeted. And you know, quite frankly, another thing to look at, and I don't know how this works, because of flow control, it might not matter. But I'd like to, you know, ponder how much our tonnage has gone up at the RRA, or how, you know, over a period of years with the styrofoam ban in effect. Because this is a lot less heavy than this, and if people are not being good stewards themselves, they're throwing this away, rather than normally throwing this away, and we're going to end up with a larger bill for trucking and disposal because we pay by the ton.
Kathy?
I appreciate these considerations about the recycling aspect, and don't know if the branding also causes a problem in terms of inks and stuff in terms of recycling, but for me the bigger problem with styrofoam is the use by customers who take these products out and often use that kind of container for reheating. And in those circumstances, material breaks down into carcinogens.
Heating.
We know that.
Reheating.
We know
reheating.
The chemistry
microwave.
Of that.
Microwave.
And we know that people do that.
Yeah.
So for me, it's a public health issue prior to its being a recycling issue.
Seems like
the final tip on the recycling is at some point those remanufactured products do go into the waste stream, and they are, if you have a mechanism to recycle the material and encourage people to continue using it, you will continue to have that waste product that will eventually become the particulate matters that gets into the waters and is a problem. It takes longer if you reuse it first, but it will eventually get there. So I'd rather not have a policy in place that encourages the use of this material. And the recycling of it, maybe there's a way to structure that of the packaging material rather than the food products, but it seems like it's a bad road altogether because of the public health issues.
Just to that point about the people incorrectly reheating things in styrofoam, I feel like we could fix that the same way we, you know, fix every other stupid thing that people do in this world.
By putting
a warning label on it. You know, I recently, a couple years ago.
There's supposed to be some human control of that.
A couple years ago, I bought some containers with which to separate my recyclables for the transfer station, and they were just plastic containers with a lid that clips on them, and I opened up the lid, and on the inside it had a picture of a baby inside the container with the lid closed with a big red X through it. I think that this is the same. We could. I would think that this is more common sense. That's a little bit more common sense than this. There's a warning label on it. I feel like a "do not microwave idiot" but label on it's fine with
can
me.
Can I ask a question?
What is? There used to be a suggestion that you wear a seatbelt.
Yeah. If question.
I don't think that there should be a seatbelt law.
If the KFC branded one, the styrofoam on top. And the plastic one, the bottom one's legal now.
Legal.
What is the difference going into landfills between the two of them?
This is polypropylene, this is polystyrene.
That one will break down?
No.
So then why, that doesn't make a lot of sense to
me. Well, first of all, Ken, thanks for bringing it.
My pleasure.
When a legislator brings something like this, or almost anybody else, we'll do our... The best we can.
I appreciate it.
Let me just say this, if I might. I voted for this, I'm pretty sure. But there's a couple of things. You weren't particularly interested in the dollars and cents part of it. But I have been told by somebody inside this government that there was a food service establishment that cost them $30,000 extra a year. Do not know if that's accurate or not. But they use it for everything, and it was one chef. So they let a chef go because it was a franchise.
Yep.
Don't know if that's true or not. If you looked at the labeling on the law, I believe it said a Waste Reduction Act or something like that.
Sounds right.
Like I said, I think I voted for it. But the reheating issues, if that was in fact, should have been part of that act. You know, the waste reduction part was very, very misleading, and I'll tell you why. As Jay knows, I brought a gram scale in. Gram. And I weighed a 5-ounce paper cup and a 5-ounce styrofoam cup. I weighed a 10-ounce paper cup and a 10-ounce styrofoam cup. And a 20-ounce and a 20-ounce. The paper, I believe, was twice as heavy. So the nomenclature on the law, the resolution, was somewhat fraudulent. I asked about recycling because I had gone online and found recycling places. Nothing in Ulster County. I think Pennsylvania, Jersey, etc. And one of our friends, legislator Briggs, very clearly said that the guy in the institution where he works, the correction facility, said to him, you cannot recycle this styrofoam. There are none. It turned out that wasn't exactly true. May not have made a difference, but it wasn't true. To get back to what I said,
yeah,
you brought it. That's our job,
yep,
to review it and let everybody see where the statistics come down on it.
And I can tell you also that the one business owner who has come to me, the KFC owner who... has been hurt, I think, the worst by this through, both increased costs and, the lack of branding of a business that she's had here for 50 years. She'd be happy to come and talk. Her general manager would be happy and come and talk as well.
They brought me just 1 month of a P&L on their profit and loss for their Kingston location, or for their Ulster County location, and they'd be happy to come and talk about it. That they estimate that it's caused their food cost to go up by 1% overall.
1%.
It's about $12,000 a year in extra costs just to go from this to this.
Well, as I told you, I was told, but I can't verify it. I don't know if they'd come out because sometimes you've got the health department looking over your shoulder, and you don't want to testify.
And I'll tell you, there were a lot of people who might have come to a hearing if it hadn't have been for and fought their case on things like a unique branding or unique packaging exemption. But the fines are so draconian that it was too much of a risk to their business.
All right, I think that's about it. Let me just run something by you folks. I was wondering if you'd like to schedule meetings for 5:30.
Please, it would be a huge help for me.
Rich, would 5:30 make it any easier?
Two thumbs up.
I mean, even today we've had a fairly decent discussion, and it's an hour. Don't you folks have a meeting after
6:30?
So if 5:30 wouldn't impact, is that okay?
It would help me a lot.
So the next time it will be advertised.
We got it.
For 5:30 so that we don't run into anything.
Is that a problem with the county directory or anything?
I don't think so.
I think Victoria and Jay can take care of it.
And as long as it's on the website and it's
properly
posted.
The environmental, we've changed out times.
Yeah.
We've gone from 6 to 6:30
back to 12. I would appreciate it. It's hard for me to leave.
Any other new business? Anything for the good of the order or the health of the community? Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to add something about the tax auctions.
I can't hear you,
ma'am. I'd like to add a little something to the tax auction discussion. I've done a lot of the tax auctions. I've bought at tax auctions, and I've done my own title search. And unfortunately, sometimes whoever is contracted by the county to do the title search, sometimes they do a good job, but they don't always do a good job. Because there was a house in Phoenicia where I discovered a mortgage that the property was for sale, and the mortgagee had not been served. And when I discovered that the mortgagee had not been served, I went upstairs and showed it to her, and she had to pull it.
Wow.
So I also was, a friend of mine bought a house, and that sale had to be reversed because the person who signed for it was underage. It was a horrible thing. It was one of the most awful things I'd seen. But the boy was like, am I going to be able to finish high school? And it was like, oh my God, oh no. Okay. And I've seen, there are other stories of the same.
So the county does a title search on
them? Well, the county hires, I believe they hire an outsider who runs through it as fast as possible.
But you don't get it. It's for their own. If you
so
you have
can,
to do it yourself.
So they can put it, so they can actually put it on the sale.
Right. They don't make that title search available to the public. You can't go in and say, "I'm interested in this property. Can I see your title search for that?"
I don't even think that they get. I mean, I don't know if they get a piece of paper.
Okay.
I don't even know what they get. I'm going to guess that someone just says, it's okay, it's not okay,
right.
It's okay, it's not okay.
Well, again, the property I spoke about in Mount Tremper, Phoenicia, that what's his name, owned for 10 years,
well, he
free and clear.
He should have done an Article 15. He should have done a quiet title.
He got 3 years and 3 years of back taxes, and he lost 7, but it didn't break him.
Well, I'm going through this in a property
okay.
myself. Somewhat different situation, but just to let you know,
move
the county,
I would hope so.
The contractor does not always do their job.
Okay, thanks.
Move to adjourn.
I'll move to adjourn.
Second, discussion.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.